Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
You ready for Mike Vrabel, next Patriots head coach?
Yeah, I'm ready for it just because it's the obvious one. Not my first choice, Jones, you know that. But, yeah, I'm ready for it. I'm not going to be surprised by it. In fact, I'd be surprised if it was anybody other than Mike Vrabel.
Oh, I think the writing is beyond on the wall. Curran made it pretty clear yesterday. I think their coaching search made it even more clear.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the names they plucked out of left field for their interviews yesterday. And I don't like that the Patriots coaching search is going to take less than 7 days, which I think is a below average coaching search is what I would say.
Yeah, it's not the Jets coaching search.
No.
Which is lengthy. It's a long coaching search that they have there. It's just about everybody who's even interested in football.
Anything over 7 days, I would say, is an above average.
So less than
search.
7 days,
yeah, I would
you
say.
Think, is a shorter search?
I would gasp at it.
Yeah, I would too. So they're basically going to interview 4 people?
Yes.
And
the Ben Johnson interview sounds fake.
The Ben Johnson one is sort of to appease the fans. The Byron Leftwich, Pep Hamilton are to appease the Rooney Rule. And then Mike Vrabel's just for that.
Vrabel's just the coach.
Because it was so lame when they're like, oh, they didn't even announce Mike Vrabel until they announced the other guys. Like, you knew you were going to talk to Mike Vrabel, but you were like, well, we're not going to put him first because then maybe we'll throw him off the scent.
No, no, we're going to announce Ben Johnson first. Yeah. Then we're going to go Pep Hamilton, Byron Leftwich. Those interviews are done.
So
now we're talking to Vrabel. If you haven't heard, they're talking to Mike Vrabel tomorrow, and it sounds like a foregone conclusion. He's the guy.
So we talked a little bit yesterday about the Rooney Rule and obviously the pros and cons that come with it. But did you notice yesterday the Patriots Twitter account?
No. Well, I noticed they tweeted out the two names.
So then they said, we completed our interviews with Pep Hamilton and Byron Leftwich.
That
and
I
they
saw.
Made a graphic, and they shared a graphic. You can't even put those guys on separate graphics?
I did see that.
Like, yeah, just throw them in there together. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, whatever.
Like, come on.
Two interviews in one. They're not real interviews anyway.
You couldn't do two tweets? They did one tweet. They were like, Pep Hamilton, Byron Leftwich, and it was like a collage of the two of them.
You know what?
They shared a graphic. I was like, guys.
I saw that. I didn't even think of that.
Separate it. Look at, yeah, Terp's got it up now. Like, we completed our interviews. They're like, yeah, just cut it in half. It's fine. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, these guys, they're not going to be the coach anyway.
That sucks.
They've both been out of football for multiple years.
They're not getting the job.
No. They're not. We didn't even talk to them.
Head coach interviews, guys. We talked to them. Do you think Robert Kraft was there? Do you think Jonathan Kraft? No, you know what? I think we know why Elliot Wolf's here. He talked to those guys.
He's doing those interviews?
Elliot Wolf talked to Pep. And Pep's like, anybody else coming? He's like, just going to be me today.
Yeah, just me, guys.
Just going to.
Sucks. Get your thought. You've been out of football since 2022?
What have you been up to?
Yeah. What have you been up to? Okay, good. I think
that's
nothing
cool
to see here. Well, we'll move along.
Just cuts him off every question. He's like, well, I've actually been, yeah, okay. Yeah. What do you
like
think Keefe's of Drake
Keys.
May?
Keefe's Keys. He has a question. Just goes, on to the next thing.
Next thing. So that was like, that's just embarrassing.
Yeah, so multiple people are saying it, and I think, you know, I came in yesterday saying I'd take, if I had to wager on it, Vrabel over the field. But now it's like, it's a runaway. It's a beatdown. And after talking to Curran, I was convinced of it.
I did see odds. The,
oh, you did?
Yeah, the next Patriots coach odds. Actually, they had all the teams that had vacancies. Actually, maybe not the Raiders, because I don't think it was in time for that, which we'll get to. But Vrabel was like minus 400 to the Patriots. It was like such an overwhelming favorite.
Okay, Giardi, and Rap Sheet is now echoing this. He said the same today on the NFL Network. But Giardi said, as I tweeted yesterday, 6 league executives all said Mike Vrabel when I asked what they thought of the Patriots' process, quote-unquote. He put that in quotes. We read that Giardi tweet yesterday.
Yep.
Having already fulfilled the Rooney Rule, Vrabel, who will interview Thursday, tomorrow, could be the new head coach before the weekend.
Wow.
Before the weekend.
Kraft said he wants to move quick.
He did.
That would be quick.
That would be very
now
fast.
And then at that point, which I guess, if you're going to just hire Vrabel, why wait around, right? If that's what you already have set. You know, so you and I both think they should interview more people.
Yeah.
I want Ben Johnson. But let's say they end up with Mike Vrabel. Well, then get the rest of the staff as quick as possible. Figure out who whether Eli Wolf's going to be gone here, working with somebody or whatever, and then get ready. You have the fourth pick in the draft. You need a massive offseason and, you know, get everything going that way. So even though he's not my top choice, if it's already a bag job, why wait a month?
Yeah, I have a problem with it being a bag job, but yeah. I guess that's a good point. Yeah. If it's Vrabel either way, then do the Zoom interview with Ben Johnson. It has to be virtual. Do the two sham interviews, which are already done, and then hire Vrabel.
I guess
that makes sense.
Good question in the Twitch chat. Do you think Leftwich and Pep Hamilton interviewed together? Did they just have them like the stepbrothers? Like they have them both, and they're like, we don't have a lot of time, guys.
Yeah.
So we're going to ask you the same question. You can just kind of ping-pong off each other.
Yeah, Kraft is constantly mixing up their names.
Just terrible.
Just a mess. So lots of ways to interact with the show today. What do you think of Mike Vrabel? Sounds like it's a done deal. 617-779-7937. That's also the text line. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keith. Watch along. And as Keith just pointed out, you can also chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Follow along there. At least you know Mike Vrabel isn't going to be playing cards at the back of the plane.
Wow.
At least you know that.
Well...
We might as well update a few of these items, and then we'll get to the potential hiccup when it comes to Mike Vrabel and the Patriots. This is the Whopper from Chad Graff today, and I don't know how much piling on we need to do with mayo. Did we say this on the air or off the air?
It might have been off the air. So yeah. We've seen a lot of times where there's like a smear campaign for different coaches or players we've seen when they've left town, and it's sort of like, see, we made the right call moving on from them. And usually it's when... a coach or a player is a little bit more polarizing. And maybe there's some guys that, like, for example, really wanted to keep Manny Ramirez or Terry Francona or Bruce Cassidy or whatever, like all these different guys. And then there'd be leaks. They're like, oh, well, you didn't know this about him, and like try to get people to get on your side. Every single person wanted Jerod Mayo gone. So the week after, do we need to find out stories about how he was bad at his job when we all know that he was bad at his job?
Yeah.
It's like, let's fire him more. Let's find a way to get, like, we want you to be more fired. Like, no, he's gone. Everybody's ready to move on. And they're like, yeah, but what about this stuff?
Ownership doesn't need to justify it. And I'm guessing, I don't know where this came from.
Okay.
But I'm guessing based on the source, Chad Graff has had some good stuff with Kraft over the years, including a tweet yesterday where he talked about Kraft and his timeline and he wants to move quickly.
Yeah.
Well, I would guess it's from the ownership side, honestly. He says, in a move that surprised some at the front of the plane after a lopsided loss to the Arizona Cardinals. So they get blown out. It's non-competitive. It's out of the bye week, if you recall. And they're flying back across the country after getting their ass kicked in a lifeless performance against Arizona.
And they went to 3-11, and they were in the middle of a four-game losing streak at that point.
In a move that surprised some at the front of the plane after such a lopsided loss, according to a team source, Mayo, the team's first-year head coach, who had been handpicked by owner Robert Kraft to succeed Bill Belichick, left his spot near the front and went back to where some players had gathered to play cards, choosing to hang out there while his assistants watched film.
There's 52 cards in a deck of cards and two jokers in that deck. Never mind.
So they're all sitting there watching film. He's like, you guys do your work. I'm going to go play cards with the boys back here.
This kind of drives me more nuts. Not that, again, he's already been fired.
Yep.
They've already made the right call. But how do you not fire him before the last game of the season
and
make sure that you have the number one pick? I'm still hung up on that. I think everybody else should be.
I'd fire him when he got off the plane from Arizona.
Yeah, but hey, did you win? Did you win the card game?
Yeah.
Because you're done. We're done. We're moving on from
this. This just shows that he's so bad. Why fire him when he's just going to probably lose games anyway?
They thought he was going to tank.
Good point.
Good theory, Nick.
Maybe you're right.
On a night when the frustration over a terrible performance had some wondering if their jobs would be in jeopardy, it was surprising to at least one person at the front of the plane to see the head coach mingling with players in such a casual way. Quote, look, there's a lot of ways to do the job, a team source who was on the plane said. It's not that Jerod's was definitely wrong.
Well, maybe. I think it was.
But I can't say I've seen that before. We just asked Wiggy. I think Wiggy said this on the air as well. We were just talking about this with Wiggy off the air. Wiggy's like, I've never seen that. In my time in the NFL, I've never seen a coach
and even
really
Wiggy,
even leave the front of the plane, never mind go play cards with the guys.
Wiggy's defended Jerod Mayo all season long.
Big time, yep.
And even he's like, that's insane. Like, that is a wild thing to have happen. And so, yeah, that was, I mean, add it to the long list. I don't think anybody thinks that Jerod Mayo was a good coach. There might be a few people that thought, yeah, one and done's tough because the roster was bad. Like, that might be your best. If you wanted Jerod Mayo to have one more year, it's because you think Elliott Wolf did a horrible job. Like, that would be your one thing to kind of stand on. But both things can be true.
No,
like, both guys can be bad.
They can. And here's what I'd say about Mayo. the idea that Kraft is like, oh, he just wasn't ready for the job. If this is his mindset, that he's never going to be ready.
But this is also week 15, right? Like, this isn't week two. And he's like, wait a minute, what the hell am I doing? I'm not a player anymore.
Oh,
like,
I'm playing. Wait, we beat the Bengals. And I got the Gatorade bath. I'm feeling myself as my first game. Oh, that's not how it's done. Whoopsie.
Right. Like, on the field, they weren't getting better. And clearly off the field, Mayo wasn't getting better either.
In December
of his first
year as a head coach, he's back there playing cards with the guys. He was never going to get it. This is an indication he was never going to get it. Forget you rushed him into the job or you didn't give him enough time or whatever. He was never going to get it if this is his approach. Other items in the story, people were critical of his lack of discipline for Ramondre Stevenson in the Chargers game.
Especially when he just contradicts himself.
Correct.
It's one thing not to bench the guy, but it's another thing to say you're going to bench the guy and then not bench the guy.
Yeah.
It was just like the messaging was all over the map.
No, it's pretty good. The quote from a team source, I still don't know what happened with that. Honestly, Gerard's a good guy. I don't think he was ready for all the big decisions and discipline and focus that the job takes. So that's a pretty good haymaker quote from a team source. There's also this item on Steve Belichick. Steve Belichick had the defensive coordinator role or the play calling role under Bill.
Yeah, they were both technically just linebacker coaches, but he called the defensive plays.
Yeah. Mayo was surprisingly decisive, according to Chad Graff in The Athletic. Even though Steve Belichick, Bill's son, had been the Patriots' defensive play caller in recent years, while they routinely boasted top 10 units, Mayo didn't offer him the chance to continue calling plays, according to a team source, opting instead for young defensive line coach DeMarcus Covington. Good move.
Yeah, he was great.
Mayo offered Steve a lesser role.
Nice.
But the younger Belichick declined.
Good for him.
And left to become the defensive coordinator at the University of Washington.
Good for him, because we'd read that they had a great relationship, right? Mayo and his wife and Steve and his, like, they all get along and, like, they're best buds. And you're like, I always thought Steve left because he thought the organization did his dad dirty. So he's like, I'm not going to stick around for this. Like, you fired my dad. I'm gone. Because whether you want to debate Steve's credentials or not, he was way more prepared for that job than DeMarcus Covington.
Yep.
Or even Gerard Mayo.
Yeah, right. Like, did I love Steve Belichick as defensive coordinator? No.
But if it's either or, it's a slam dunk.
In retrospect. I'm not sure I would have felt that way at the time, but in retrospect, yes.
No, but I think if you were like, you know, it's another sham process and it was just going to be Covington anyway, you would have been like, well, why not keep Steve? Right? Like, why not keep at least some of the coaching on that defense? Because the defense wasn't bad the last few years.
And that was the one coach he did pick. Because we know he didn't pick AVP. Jeremy Springer told us he didn't pick him as special teams coordinator. That was Wolf.
But how insane is that? He's like, yeah, we'd like you to stay on the staff, but in a lesser role.
Well, this is why
he's like, get out of here.
This is why I do think, even though they like Gerard, and even though it's embarrassing for Kraft, I think this came from ownership. Because the whole thing is, it was a clown show, and it was a mess, and it was a disaster. And the subtext is, Vrabel's going to come in, and he's going to clean it up.
He's going to be an adult.
Because he's the adult in the room. Right. Thank you. He's not going to be playing cards at the back of the plane.
No.
He knows how to discipline guys. You know, he's not going to ask players or coaches or whatever to take demotions and things like this. He is going to come in and do what's right. And so I think that's the subtext of the story. I guess that's where it came from. Vrabel sounds like the guy. How do you feel about it? And is there a chance Tom Brady could screw it all up?
He could.
I'm going to go 90%. I think there's a 90% chance that Mike Vrabel is the next head coach of the New England Patriots. And do I think some things have been in motion? Yeah, I do. But I think the biggest reason you can point to why it's Vrabel, not say like Ben Johnson or something like that, is, you know, look what the Crafts just went through with their own rookie head coach.
Yep.
You know, at least Ben Johnson has been a coordinator, but a guy that they knew, went to Israel with, all this stuff, believed in it, and that guy fell on his face. After that, do you really think they're going to bring in another first-time head coach, someone they don't even know, and put him in charge? To me, there is little chance of that, like 1%. So Mike Vrabel makes a lot of sense. They know him. He's been a successful head coach. He spent this year learning how to coach offense better in Cleveland, was in Cleveland with their analytics department, saw all that, used basically this season to educate himself more in a lot of different areas, so it'll be better the second time around. And it's too perfect a fit.
Greg Bedard on his podcast, 90%, Vrabel gets it. I think it's a good segue into the Chad Graff story today from The Athletic. We were giving you some details. We can circle back into that. There is one potential hiccup with Mike Vrabel and the New England Patriots, and that is Tom Brady. We'll get to that here on Jones and Keefe, 617-779-7937. I like how Greg tried to justify Vrabel as a candidate because he went to Cleveland and learned offense. Where'd they rank in offense again this year?
Worse than the Patriots.
Did he learn what not to do in Cleveland?
They were horrible.
Like, let's justify him working with the offense in Cleveland. They were terrible.
Vrabel's not an offensive guy. Just because he caught a couple of touchdowns on the goal line doesn't mean he's an offensive guy. And spending time in Cleveland would actually make it worse.
Yeah.
Be like, oh yeah, we had these guys. They were horrible. They were worse than the Patriots. What does that tell you?
Yeah, so I don't like who Vrabel's bringing with him. Vrabel, the coach, I don't hate. He's an upgrade on Mayo. But who Vrabel will bring with him? The reports are Tommy Rees, who was a passing game specialist, analyst, whatever he was, in Cleveland.
Tight ends coach.
Oh, and they were terrible last year.
Do you know how many teams were worse offensively than the Browns?
None.
Zero teams.
Yeah, not even the Patriots.
That's right.
The Jacoby Brissett Patriots, I think, were. But one strike they got
ended
in.
The year 32nd. They were dead last in offense.
Yeah, and they had a couple
feather in the cap to Alex Van Pelt, by the way.
Big time.
Van Pelt leaves them. And I know he wasn't calling plays, but he left them. They were the 10th best offense.
Mm-hmm.
And they fire him. They're like, you're done. You were the quarterback coach for four different quarterbacks, and we had the top 10 offense. You're done. Follow up this year dead last.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's a low bar for Van Pelt, but he clears all the low bars, unlike everybody else around.
But that's the thing. Everybody's like, oh, what a safe thing Vrabel is. What a safe thing Vrabel is. If he's bringing in Tommy Rees as his offensive coordinator, is that safe?
Thank you. And the personnel guy he's attached to, we were talking about Mike Borgonzi earlier in the week. The other name, he's at least from a good organization, the Chiefs. They draft well.
Yeah.
The other name is Ryan Coden, who was with him in Tennessee, who I don't want anybody from Tennessee's front office.
No.
The way their roster looks?
They've fired their last two general managers in the last 3 years.
Hell with that. So, like, Vrabel's going to bring along these guys that I don't think cut the mustard, to be honest.
I agree.
So, look, the thing about Vrabel, the biggest selling point, he's not a rookie. The job won't be new to him. He, again, won't be at the back of the plane playing cards with the boys, trying to be one of the guys. Chad Graff.
He also won't bench or not bench Ramondre Stevenson or waffle on that. Like, I get it. I think he is a solid coach, but just because he played here doesn't mean like you have to hire him.
Again, Chad Graff, he was playing cards at the back of the plane after they lost to the Cardinals while the whole rest of the coaching staff was watching film at the front of the plane.
Right.
The whole rest of them. Keith, to pull back the curtain a little bit, you've been on you've traveled with the Boston Celtics before.
I have.
As have I.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of interacting with the players going on from media, coaches, anybody.
You didn't?
I didn't.
You weren't playing cards with the guys?
I for sure kept my head down and didn't look at anybody.
I think me and Brandon Bass and Big Baby Davis were playing cards.
I kept my head down so much. I was on the flight where Rondo didn't go to Sacramento. I didn't even notice.
Didn't even know.
Rondo stayed behind a party in L.A. I didn't even know I was on that flight.
Talk about a situation where you're just trying to stay out of the way. I was just like, where can I be where I won't bother anybody?
Meanwhile, so this is Brad Stevens' rookie year. Brad Stevens at the back of the plane playing Boo-Ray with the boys.
Right after they got lost by 30 to the Spurs. He's out there like having a nice time. No, I don't think so.
In your face, fellas. Yeah. No. Fudge you.
Nope.
Like, no way.
He's sitting so far in front of the plane, he might as well be flying it. Like, that's where Brad Stevens was.
And this is Mayo's same thing. Mayo's rookie year. Mayo's first year. He's back there playing cards with the guys. So Vrabel won't do that.
No,
good.
No.
Talking about low bars to clear. And Mike Vrabel, make no mistake, sounds like the guy. Bedard, 90%. Rap Sheet says it could be done by the weekend. Giardi says it could be done by the weekend.
I would have said 100% if it wasn't for the little item yesterday.
Okay, so thank you. So here we go. So the Raiders, I think somewhat surprisingly based on the timing, if you ask me Sunday and maybe even early Monday, is Antonio Pierce going to be the Raiders head coach? I'd say no chance. Then he did his press conference. There were all these stories he's probably staying on.
I'm still here for now or whatever. And you're like, okay.
Raiders blew out Antonio Pierce yesterday. They have a vacancy. Tom Brady's going to be hands-on, according to all the reports, of with the coaching search, assisting Mark Davis in the coaching search. They have reached out to Mike Vrabel. I don't know that he's going to interview there, if that's been confirmed, but could Brady screw everything up, quote-unquote? I actually think it'd be a good thing if the Raiders hired Vrabel and forced the Patriots to do a real search and look at a guy like Ben Johnson, but screw it up in the Kraft's minds, in the Patriots' minds, Brady could screw with the whole thing by hiring his buddy.
Yes. I think there is a legitimate chance because not only is Tom Brady a part of it, Richard Seymour is a part of that too.
Good point.
Like another guy that, you know, what a relationship he has with Mike Vrabel. So they get in a room, they could probably convince him on that. Let's say the money's the same. Let's say both teams offer $8 million or whatever a year. So like that's a wash. Now you take the pros and cons with everything else. Do you want to live in Las Vegas? Do you want to live in Attleboro? All shout out, you know, due respect to Attleboro.
Yeah.
But, like, you got to pick. Yeah, maybe some of us would pick Attleboro, but maybe you pick Las Vegas. Drake May versus who knows a quarterback. Like, that's the biggest thing going in favor of the Patriots. Like, would Mike Vrabel want to go to another team like he had in Tennessee where he didn't really have the quarterback? The franchise convinced themselves it was Tannehill, then it wasn't, and then you're next thing you know, you're out of a job. So does he get any assurance on who the quarterback's going to be?
He had Mariota at first, right?
And he started with Mariota, then he had Tannehill, who they committed to.
Correct, and he's the one who I think made the switch, and they caught fire late in the year with Tannehill. And
right.
Like,
the Tannessance began.
Like, yeah. He's been hitched to quarterbacks who are no good.
Right.
So, right, Drake Mason.
So you want to deal with that?
Yeah.
Patriots have the fourth pick. Raiders have the sixth pick. You have to get some sort of assurances. I know Vrabel, I think, has even mentioned in the past, like the money the Patriots have.
Yeah.
But don't spend it.
No.
They don't spend it. So they have all this cap space, but are you guaranteed to get any players?
Here's the thing. Are we sure Robert Kraft is going to offer more than Mark Davis, who I know is, you know, not the deepest pocket owner?
To Vrabel or to the roster?
I'm sorry, to Vrabel is what I'm talking about.
I don't think, no, we don't know that. I'll just say for the...
Well, the Raiders are paying three coaches as of right now.
True.
Good point.
I can't imagine they're paying Pierce a ton, but you're right. They are paying him.
But did he pay Gruden?
That was a 10-year
deal. Did he pay McDaniels? Like, I think he has paid coaches.
No, I know, but...
And Kraft, I mean, in fairness, Kraft paid Bill forever.
No, but at some point, maybe you got to stop. So, because then you're like, all right, we're paying now a total of coaches because of all these Bobby Bonilla contracts. We're paying them like $50 million.
If you're asking me, do I think Kraft will offer more for Mike Vrabel than Mark Davis? Probably. But I don't think it's a slam dunk. I don't think it's a slam dunk at all.
All right. But
I don't think they paid Mayo less. I think Mayo made peanuts.
Yeah, but Mayo also, like, what is he going to say? Well, he wasn't going to get any other job. Like, Mike Vrabel at least is like an established coach and maybe one of the better candidates, if not the second best candidate in the whole thing.
Sure.
So he has more of a track record. But if you're just looking at the two jobs and take Vrabel out of it. Now, obviously, Brady, Kraft, the relationship that he has with both is significant. But let's say you were, Liam Cohen. Like, which job's better?
Yeah, I think the Patriots.
So do I. Like, I do think the Patriots are.
But it's purely about May.
Yeah, but that's a pretty big, big thing.
But I'm saying, but it's yeah. Really,
no,
you
it's
look
the
at
quarterback.
You look at everything else and you go, ugh.
Or if you're Pep Hamilton, Joe Milton. It's all about Joe Milton.
Pep Hamilton's like, I'll trade Drake May. A raft of draft picks. But yeah, it's purely about the quarterback, but you're right. That's a huge, huge piece.
But I just wonder, can Tom Brady convince Mike Vrabel, if in fact that's the guy he wants the most, and maybe it is. Can he convince him that, like, this is the right move? Don't go to the Patriots. You know, if you look at the division in the West is definitely better, but you still have, like, the Bills and Chiefs standing in the way of both. Like, you have two just wagons in front of you, so you're kind of playing for second place in both divisions. But I don't know. I when I saw that yesterday, I was like, first of all, like, I don't know what took the Raiders so long. But my second thought was, and it was funny because right around that same time, Schefter tweeted out that thing about, oh, Brady's going to have a say.
Yeah, you know, Brady with like the aviators or whatever.
Yeah, like, oh boy.
Here we go.
Oh, here he comes. But yeah, I would assume that's his first call. Probably would have called Josh McDaniels, but that's the one franchise one of two franchises where they're like, no, it's a non-starter, Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not bringing him back.
There might be three. Yeah. There's definitely two. Broncos and Raiders are the two.
Yeah.
Florio put it this way. The Patriots might believe they need to get a deal done ASAFP.
Wow. You can write that?
That's really fast.
Holy mackerel.
Especially with the Raiders firing Antonio Pierce. Raiders minority owner Tom Brady and Vrabel are good friends, and that could set up a tug of war between Brady and Patriots owner Robert Kraft, one that could test the limits of Brady's status as Kraft's unofficial fifth son. So, they're already motivated, reportedly, because of the Jets. Vrabel used them as leverage with New England. Now you have this on top of it as well. That helps explain the urgency, why they had the two sham interviews, which I think is a shame for Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton, a waste of their time.
Yeah.
But you had the two sham interviews yesterday, and it explains why they're rushing through the process with Ben Johnson as well, and they're not going to wait it out. They're afraid Brady's going to grab him or the Jets are going to grab him, and they're going to lose out on their guy. Billy, maybe you have to clean it up a little bit, but Billy had a good text yesterday about the equal spite that Brady and Vrabel both have, right?
Yeah, yeah, they act all buddy buddy with Kraft, but deep down they have
a reason to grind the axe with Kraft.
Yep, you traded me because I made comments about Patriots plays. You never paid me what I was worth.
Neither guy ended their career here, right? So, like, do I really want to? Do you a favor? Like, I think if you're Vrabel, you want to be a coach again in the league. You have a spot that has a quarterback, and I think he feels like he could probably come in and take over the franchise to a certain degree, but this Raiders thing's going to be pretty intriguing to him too. You know, two of his former teammates are like part owners of the team. Like, that might even be a better spot to be in, just relationship-wise.
You said it too. Where would you rather live, Vegas or Foxborough? Yeah, well, like, I mean, that one should be pretty easy. So, yeah, they have equal spite, although in fairness, if we're being fair, Brady came back for Tom Brady Day and Vrabel went back into the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
so
no, I don't think
they're like...
So it like
things are mended with Kraft.
Yeah.
But yeah, it didn't end well for either of them as players here.
But like, I do think if the Raiders' job wasn't open, and I think Vrabel would just immediately like walk right in and be the head coach here. But I think this gives him pause. I don't think it gives the Patriots or the Raiders any kind of like pause. I think they would both want Vrabel. Forget what you and I want for a second, but like, I think Brady and Kraft, my guess would be that's their number one choice. They both need to get back to a level of respect. Both teams were so bad this year, in a couple of years really, for in both cases. They need to turn it around, and Mike Vrabel does give you that higher floor.
617-779-7937. He definitely gives you that. There's no doubt about it. So, Vrabel, a safe hire? Do you think it's more than that? How do you feel? That seems like a foregone conclusion. He's the next guy here in New England. On top of that, could Brady screw it all up? The one thing that could be an issue is that Brady hires his buddy in Vegas and the Patriots get left out in the cold on Mike Vrabel. Plus, at least he'll be adult in the room. You know, he won't be playing cards at the back of the plane with the guys.
No.
He'll know how to discipline Ramondre Stevenson. He won't say he's getting benched and then get the first snap. So is that enough? Is that something the Patriots should prioritize? A leader of men, an adult in the room. Again, you can jump in 617-779-7937. We'll get more into Kraft and his urgency with this hire and his track record of urgency with some of these hires. That's next. I know you tweeted yesterday, it'd be way, way, way presumptuous to assume that Vrabel is the guy here in New England. Do you think he's the favorite?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think he is the preferred candidate and favorite for the team. But there's just so many different things that can happen, I would think, with this process. So until it's done, it's not done, as anybody can tell. And Vrabel articulated in an article with The Athletic last week that he wants to be comfortable and have an open line of communication with ownership. He also believes that you either have to have a very good quarterback or a pathway to finding one. And then finally, he needed to have people who shared his vision with X's and O's approach and team culture. So 2 out of 3 ain't bad. When I look at that component of the team culture and the people in place that Robert Kraft stated would remain in place, Alonzo Highsmith and Elliot Wolf in the personnel department, it's hard to see how the visions will mesh smoothly with a new guy when in 2024, I find it a little bit dysfunctional towards the end of the year with the amount of finger pointing that's gone on.
Tommy Curran, yesterday here on Jones and Keefe. It was a Tommy Tuesday. You can check that out on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get that on your phone, free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You won't miss any of the content here on WEEI, Greg Hill Show, Jones and Keefe, or WEEI Afternoons. Curran went into the dysfunction and the finger pointing.
Yeah.
I think on TV, he had a better line on TV. He went from this used to be the place of goats to now it's the place of scapegoats, something like that.
Oh, good one.
And it's continuing today with Chad Graff in The Athletic. I think ownership is letting you know the level of dysfunction with Mayo to justify the decision, even though it's embarrassing that they fired him.
It also seems very unnecessary.
Yeah, I agree. It's unnecessary.
He's like, you made the move. Everybody thought, for the most part, it was a dumb hire to begin with.
Yep.
As the season played out, everyone was like, oh, wow, we're more right than we thought. And then you fired him, and we're like, oh, kind of surprising, because I thought the relationship, you were so close that you wouldn't do this, but you did. So you get like a little bit of credit for that.
Yep.
And then you're like, but now let's really pile on.
But here's
why. You don't even need to.
I don't think they're piling on to stab Mayo in the back necessarily. I think that's a byproduct of justifying your next hire. And they're painting Mayo out. I think we already knew this, but they're painting Mayo out as a guy who is too friendly with the players. Doesn't know how to discipline them. He's playing cards with them. He can't make a decision on Steve Belichick. And I think they're painting that picture so when they replace him with Vrabel, you can sell the fan base on, well, this guy's done it before, and he's not going to make those same mistakes.
This happens all the time when you see teams kind of yo-yo in the personality of their head coach or manager.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Terry Francona to Bobby Valentine to John Farrell. Like, you're going back and forth. You're trying to figure out what we
Kraft
have here.
Done it. Parcells, who he inherited, to Carroll, to Bill, to Mayo.
To Vrabel.
That, I mean, it's a complete yo-yoing. Yeah,
I know. So that's what it is, but it just... it does seem unnecessary because I think the headline, whenever it comes out, Mike Vrabel hired by the Patriots to be their head coach, is going to be met with 80% approval from Patriots fans. Don't you think most Patriots fans are going to be happy about that?
Yeah, I think right now, if you poll the fan base and people have, it's like 55, 60% want Vrabel over every other candidate. And that's just before he's hired. Once he's hired, people are going to talk themselves into it, and it's going to be borderline unanimous. Yes, I agree.
I think people are going to be pretty thrilled with it, and they're going to be like, oh, you should have hired him last year, and like whatever. But like, you got him this year, they'll be happy about it. And then my question is going to then turn to the rest of the staff, because everybody was saying, well, the whole staff was bad, the whole operation was bad. It's like, well, right now, all you did was get rid of the head coach. You're going to likely hire Mike Vrabel, and then the clock's really going to start, you know, because how many other moves are they going to make?
So, again, how do you feel about Vrabel as the next head coach? Sounds like a borderline done deal. Could be done by the weekend. Both Rap Sheet and Giardi are reporting that. On top of it, you have Brady, maybe the one impediment in Vegas. It is weird Brady's doing these games on Fox.
Yeah, the whole thing is weird.
And he's going to be conducting interviews for the Raiders? Like, in theory, forget the Vrabel thing for a second. He's going to be doing a Lions game, and then he's going to be interviewing Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, in theory, for that job? That's weird.
But he can't see practices, and he can't talk to players. All he can't do any interviews. Like, he's going to get rid of the Fox thing.
Agreed.
You got to get rid of that.
Well, A, because he's bad at it.
You're not good at it.
But B, the conflict of interest, yeah.
Well, it's wild. Like, you can't have all these caveats on it, and it's like, all right, which one do you want to do? You're no longer a player, all right? Everybody's got to move on. Pick one. You know, you don't have, like, John Elway, like, doing games, right? But then you also don't have, like, Greg Olsen owning a team. Like, you got to kind of pick what you want to do.
It's true.
And you can, like...
Our guy Arch does not own a team.
Not yet.
Arch doesn't own a team yet.
Not
yet.
Ross Tucker doesn't own one of these teams.
Nope.
But Tom Brady owns a team, or he part owns a team. So, yeah, that is strange. I lost a bet to myself, though. I never thought he was even going to do games. I thought that was all like a ruse. Like, he took a year off for like no reason. Like, I got a sabbatical year. I'm like, oh, he's not going to do these games. But I was wrong. He did them. And then he's doing the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah. Games on Fox.
So that's going to be pretty interesting, because a lot of people keep telling me that he's getting better. I feel like I've only heard bits and pieces.
Yeah, the playoffs are where you're really going to lean in and really listen to some of the games, and you're going to know if he sucks or not. When I've been listening, he sucks, but I guess I'll amend my stance.
But how much sway does he have? And I think he could convince Mark Davis pretty easily who they should hire, but then it's going to be, can he convince Mike Vrabel that it's the right spot?
Correct. Yeah. He can. I agree with that 1,000%. Yeah. He's going to be able to sway Mark Davis a lot of different directions. He talked Mark Davis into giving him a sweetheart deal to buy in at 5%, you know, at way less than the organization's valued at. So he can definitely sway and convince Mark Davis. I don't think it's that hard. Can he convince Mike Vrabel? Meanwhile, Chad Graff yesterday tweeted about ownership. Huh?
Yeah.
He said,
he's been busy.
One note on the Patriots coaching search: Robert Kraft tends to be intentional with these kind of decisions. He's not going to sit back and take a lot of time. Wouldn't surprise me if the Patriots are the first team to fill their head coaching vacancy, potentially within a week. So, a day before, he has a story airing out the dirty laundry of the former head coach. He has a tweet with a window into the mindset of how the coaching process is going to be. I will say this. Maybe he's just looking back at past hires. It's true. I mean, Mayo had his deal a year in advance.
5 years.
Bill, it took a while to actually hire Bill.
Yeah.
But they wanted him, and they were decisive about it, even though they had to line up everything with the trade that was complicated. I think they were pretty decisive with Pete Carroll. So he's been decisive in these hires. He's not going to wait around, which I think is a mistake, but that is his track record.
Well, and not counting the in-season firings, he was the first owner to fire the coach when the season ended. I mean, he did it before people even left the stadium.
Good point.
Whereas, you know, Doug Peterson was the next morning. Antonio Pierce was 2 days later. So they were the first to get out and get rid of him. And then they're already lining up interviews. They had the two very serious, strong candidate interviews yesterday in Pep Hamilton and Byron Leftwich. They're going to maybe talk to Ben Johnson the next couple of days. And then they're just going to hire Mike Vrabel. I think the thing has already been set up for this. I do think the Raiders thing gives it pause and makes it much more intriguing. Like, it's not an obvious destination anymore, because now all of a sudden Vrabel has two legitimate spots. I know he's done other interviews, but I don't think Chicago or the Jets is where Mike Vrabel is going to end up.
No.
It's the Raiders or the Patriots.
617-779-7937. Vrabel feels like a done deal. Could Brady get in the way? Meanwhile, both the Bruins and the Celtics in action last night. It went a little differently. Yeah. Celtics have a very successful road trip, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We can debate that. And
the Bruins are getting a chance to fire Don Sweeney as they lose their fifth game in a row. Ooh. Let's get to both those teams next.